prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
That's right, the truth will set you free. It is Truth Revolution. And with me, I'm Dave. With me is Jeff, Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
Oh, and we're going to have a good day today because we are talking about what if you only had 30 days to live? What would you do? Now, normally we talk about apologetics, philosophy, logic, all these things. Mm-hmm. Is Christianity true? Is it not true? But you know what? We're just going to get a little more ethereal today.
Okay. Talking about 30 days left to live, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
That kind of hits me because, you know, I recently...
Because you're old?
I recently went to the doctor. Check this out. I recently went to the doctor. I've been putting it off because I don't want to be on all those meds like all those old people I see. Guess what? I'm on meds now.
You're getting old. Yeah,
high cholesterol and high blood pressure and stuff. And it's just, it's crazy because you don't ever think about getting there. Well, now you're there.
Right. So. You know, hey, there was a doctor who called one of his patients into his office and he had some really important news. He said, hey, I've received the results of your test. I've got some pretty bad news and I've got some good news. Well, the patient was quiet and, you know, he senses a pretty serious moment and a serious moment. He said, well, go ahead. Why don't you give me the good news first? The doctor said, okay. He took a deep breath. Whew. The good news is you only have 24 hours to live.
What?
Was that? Oh my goodness, shouted the patient. Like, if that's the good news, what could the bad news possibly be? The doctor says, well, the bad news is I was supposed to tell you yesterday. That's terrible.
Yeah.
So, there's our famous baby.
Our resident baby.
The guy's dying soon. But, you know, I asked a teenager from our church, so what would you do if you only had 30 days to live? And this teen, her name was Taylor, she said, I'd probably go swimming every day and play a lot of basketball.
Really?
Now, I want you to think, like, if you only had 30 days to live, Dave, what would you do?
You know, I mean, it sounds, I'm ashamed of saying this, but I would be sold out for Jesus like I've never been sold out before. Because, you know, it's like, if I'm going, I'm going to try and drag as many people with me as I can, not in death, but, you know, into the kingdom.
You want to clarify that.
Right, I definitely want to clarify that. But, you know, I mean, I want to be able to, you know, see as many people come into the kingdom.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah. You know, I actually, Dave, I don't know if you know this or not, but I know when I'm going to die.
You do?
This is a video we did a few years ago. Check this out.
I was born May 2nd, 1978. Only 3 weeks before my birth, Jimmy Carter decided to postpone production of the neutron bomb, which killed people with radiation, but left the important buildings intact. Only 7 days before my birth, Bob Marley sponsored a peace concert in Jamaica. It seemed like things were going well for the world, but then just 5 days before my birth, the president of Afghanistan was assassinated. On May 4th, just 2 days after my birth, a political activist was murdered in Paris. And just months after my birth, Dianna Feinstein became the first woman mayor of San Francisco. But why? Because George Moscone, her predecessor, was assassinated. But that's in the past. The most important date for me is April 14th, 2060. Because on April 14th, 2060, I will die. I know this is true because deathclock.com told me so. It gave me the exact date of my death. And I expect fully to die on that day. April 14th, 2060. That's a ways away. I got a while to live. I got some time. But that's not too many. I mean, that's like 50 years. I barely remember the last 30. From what I hear, time goes faster. That's right, I'm safe until April 14th, 2060. The day I will die.
Okay, so there you heard it.
Sound like you got time to party, right?
I got some time, man. Yeah. No, obviously, I actually don't know when I'm going to die. We made that video a few years ago. We'll probably post it on the site. It's really cheesy.
You know.
I think I made that video, and I'm not a video editor.
That's what we do really well.
Jeez. But in reality, our life is so quick. No website can tell us when we're going to die. Now, we agree in our heads with this, but we don't live that way.
No.
We know we're going to die at some point, but we don't live that way. Right. Psalm 39, for this is from the Bible, verses 4-7 says, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You've made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
You know, think about just the width of your hand.
That's your whole life.
That's your whole life. But, you know, you put it in the scope of eternity, man.
And you know, then it's nothing.
It is nothing.
Well, yes, Psalms continues. It says, we are merely moving shadows. And all our busy rushing ends in nothing. We heap up wealth, not knowing who will spend it. And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you.
Amen.
You know, my life is no longer in the width of my hand, as you said. Wow. I mean, that's crazy.
See, the thing is that let's look at eternity, okay?
Yeah.
And that's what we hope for in the eventuality of after our afterlife and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like it says, our life here on earth is but the width of our hand.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to throw away that small amount of time, and in so doing, we'll throw away
eternity? Yeah, exactly. Now, I want to come back to this.
Okay.
But I think, Dave, why don't we do the Bible contradiction in the first half of the show today?
Okay.
Instead of in the second half.
You're throwing me off, dude.
Because I got an audio clip that I want to play of a lady who I've met who had cancer, who thought she was going to die. And I interviewed her about what she felt like when she was going to die. Now, this is an important subject. I don't want people just to tune out because they don't want to think about death. So let's go ahead and do this Bible contradiction so that it doesn't just get people overwhelmed with thinking of their own mortality.
Bible contradiction.
All right. Today's Bible contradiction, of course, brought to you by the fine people at evilbible.com.
Thank you. It's almost like they're a donor.
They are.
They bring us content every week.
Our show. All right. So their contradiction is
their contribution.
Their contribution to our show says there is but one God. But wait, the Bible also says there is a plurality of gods? Let me explain. Okay? Or let them explain. Deuteronomy 6:4 said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
Okay.
There is one God.
Okay.
Okay. But in Genesis 1:26, then the God said, Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Genesis 3:22 says, And the Lord God said, The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Genesis 18:1-3, the Lord appeared to Abraham. And Abraham, looking up, saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, If I have found favor in your eyes, Lord, do not pass me by.
Okay.
What's up with that?
This is not a contradiction. The end. No. Okay. No, Deuteronomy 6:4, that first thing we quoted, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
Uh-huh.
By the way, that's called the Shema, and the Jews recite it every day.
Really?
It's part of the Shema, yeah. It's hugely important to Jewish theology and to Christian theology. There is only one God.
Amen.
Like, listen, Christians, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There's not five gods, there's not three gods, mm-hmm. there's not 20 gods, there's one God, period. Right. There's not underling gods, there's one.
Thankfully.
We're monotheistic, fiercely monotheistic. And these verses that evilbible.com quoted to support the idea that the Bible's suggesting there's a plurality of gods has nothing to do with a plurality of gods. Rather, you see shadows and inflections of what is to come, and that is knowledge of the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we believe in this thing called progressive revelation. God started to reveal himself to humanity in the book of Genesis, and he reveals himself over time. He doesn't just throw himself all out there, Genesis chapter 1, bare naked, and say, Here I am in my fullness. I mean, he reveals himself progressively in appropriate ways for each time. And we've come to learn that God is a Trinity. There is one God, and Muslims will get honest about this.
Mm-hmm.
So will Jehovah's Witnesses. We say there's one God, but three persons in the Godhead. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they say, no, 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 that's three gods. And we say, no, this is one God. They are one substance.
Right.
The same substance, just different persons.
I and the Father are one.
That's Jesus, what Jesus said.
Jesus himself said that.
Right. And we did a whole show on this, actually. Uh-huh. So we can go to that show about whether or not Jesus was God, and we talk about it in there as well. So this is not a contradiction. It's simply foreshadowing the reality of the Trinity, which would be taught in later Revelation.
Bible contradiction.
All right. I knew that wasn't going to be that hard.
Yeah. Well, you know, when they quote from Genesis to try to prove something wrong... that's taught later. Uh-huh. You're way off base because Genesis is like the very beginning of Revelations, of Revelation,
right.
And God's revelations. So, yeah. Anyway, all right. So we were talking about the shortness of our life. Our life is no longer than the width of our hand. It's here today. We're gone tomorrow. You know, James 4 says, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this city or that and spend a year there, carry on business and make money." Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow.
That's a fact.
What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and you brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good you ought to do and doesn't do it sins. And now what he's getting at here is your life is short.
Mm-hmm.
And if you assume that you're going to be fine, that tomorrow's going to come, you have lost your mind.
Right. Very few of us are, you know, are able to plan our own exit.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And so it's like, we don't know. I could step outside. I could drive out on my motorcycle out in the middle of South Street tomorrow and just totally get hit by a bus.
Right. Like James said, I mean, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Right.
What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. That's it. A mist. I want you to, if you've got a squirt bottle by you, people, I want you to just squirt that bottle, that water.
Turn it on mist first.
Turn it on mist.
Yeah.
And then squirt it. And it's just gone. It's just gone in a second. That's our life. It's about perspective is what this is about. The Bible tells us that our lives on this earth are like a vapor, but we will exist forever in heaven or hell.
Right.
So while our lives here are short, very short, infinitesimally small, very short, infinitesimally short, our life in heaven or hell will be extremely long. We need to focus our eyes on the eternal perspective. Okay, we got a break coming up here already. I can't believe it. Check us out on the other side of the break. We're going to finish this discussion and go to truthrevolution.tv. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
This is Dave
and Jeff
from the Truth Revolution Show. We want to invite you to Revolution Church this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. Revolution Church welcomes everyone and every question.
If you want to explore who God is, come join us.
And bring any question you have, because we have answers.
Why does the dryer eat my socks? Can I get married but not have a mother-in-law?
How much is a long-distance call to the moon?
Well, we don't have answers for all your questions, just the important ones.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning at 10:15 a.m.
www.salinarevolution.com.
Truth. Truth Revolution.
And we are back. We are talking about the shortness of life.
That's right. And, you know, before we get back into that, I want to encourage everybody to come on out to Revolution Church today.
Amen.
If you're in Salina, Kansas, we are at 1111 West South Street.
Right. And that comes up at 10:15.
In the morning. 10:15 this morning.
You don't want to miss it.
Right now. So we're starting just a little bit. So come on out. Just come as you are. Jeans, t-shirt, pajamas.
Yeah. No, we've had people do that, so.
Appropriate pajamas.
Right.
But we don't really care. I'm the pastor. I wear jeans.
Right.
I preach in jeans.
All you got to do is go to Ustream and see our videos on there. And
yeah.
He's wearing jeans.
Actually, sure, if you go to youtube.com/SalinaRevolution, or if you go to SalinaRevolution.com, you can watch us live online. If you're not in Salina and can't come here in person, if you are in the Marshall Islands, we're starting a campus out there video-wise.
You will not be able to come here.
If you're in Farmington, New Mexico, we have a campus out there getting going.
There you go.
It's all over the place. It's going all over the place. So, yeah, wherever you are, you can watch online at SalinaRevolution.com.
And everybody knows Jeff wears jeans.
That's right. I wear jeans. And you can go to our radio show, TruthRevolution.tv. Right. You can hear our truth shots.
Yeah.
Every day of the week.
We got truth shots going Monday through Friday.
These are 60-second little poignant pieces of information.
Uh-huh. And it's basically talking about little bitty things, just little bitty clips. It's not something that's going to take up a lot of your time. So it's not
60
like,
seconds.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to be like bored.
It takes longer than that to microwave a burrito.
There you go.
Are we worth more than a burrito?
Stick a burrito in the microwave and just turn on a true shot. Your burrito will be done right at the end.
That's right. I think we should truth shots better than a burrito. Okay. Anyway, back to the shortness of our lives, which are now a lot shorter because we spent so much time talking about how short the truth shots are.
Right. We're not wasteful at all.
Our lives are very short. And the Bible tells us that our lives on this earth are like a vapor. But we are going to exist forever in heaven or hell. So we have to have a proper perspective on this thing.
Right.
80 or 90 years is nothing compared to eternity.
Right. I've been on this kick lately. I've been telling people, hey, man, you think you know me? You think you know me, huh? You think you know me? I'm 45 years old. You know me for, 40 years?
Mm-hmm.
That ain't nothing compared to how you're going to get to know me in the scope of eternity.
We could hang out for 1,000 years.
Oh, man. I don't know whether I'll be bored or
I can't even comprehend that.
I know.
And talk about how short life is and how long eternity is. Just put your head around what God has already created. The stars. It goes on for millions and millions of light years. Okay. Proxima Centauri is the closest star to us. All right. 4 light years away. Just 4 light years. Yeah, sounds so close.
That's a little stroll.
If you traveled 1,000 miles an hour, that's the speed of the Concorde.
No, I'm totally doing it.
It would take you 2,846,771 years.
But that's okay,
to get there.
Because I'll arrive after I'm dead and I'll be able to enjoy it for the rest of eternity.
How long are you expected to live? 100 years if you're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
2,800,000 to get to the closest.
It's unfathomable.
It's unfathomable. We can't even get to the nearest star. Our lives are so short. But eternity? We're going to be able to go back and forth between these stars a zillion times.
A zillion.
A zillion times. Even traveling at 2 miles an hour.
And that number is even really small. A zillion.
Scott Adams, the creator of Dilbert, really has a good perspective on life.
Yeah. You can tell by reading his comments.
He really does. Listen. He talks about the absurdities of the office, but he said this. This is a quote. I don't think I'll ever forget what it feels like to sit in a cubicle and realize you've been there for 8 hours, and everything you did today will become unimportant in the next reorganization.
Amen.
You know,
and that happens.
If you had 30 days to live, imagine how clear that would be. I only got 30 days. I'm not sitting in a stinking cubicle and letting someone reorganize my life out of existence.
Right.
Psalm 39, Lord, remind me how brief my time is on earth. And, I have a good friend, actually, Dave, you know this lady quite well.
Uh-huh.
Her name's Vera.
Right.
And she's your sister.
Uh-huh.
And she had cancer at one point.
I remember.
And she thought she was going to die.
Yes, she did.
And I was able to sit down with her and talk to her and interview her about what it felt like and what she believed was important. And this is just a short clip. We used these a few years back in a sermon, but this is just a short clip of what Vera had to say, because she found out very, very clearly that life was different when suddenly it was about to go away. So just listen.
Going out and partying was not even it never even crossed my mind because it was so insignificant. It was all about relationship. It was all about a relationship with the people that I had been having a relationship with that I took for granted. And I realized that my workaholism stole a lot of years away from my children. Live each day as though it was your last. My great-grandmother, Vera, actually, my namesake, told me that you prepare as though you're going to live forever, but live as though today is your last day. And that's what I try to do now.
Only one life to live, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. We don't know how long we have. Maybe I'll die tonight. Maybe I'll die tomorrow. The death clock says I won't die till April 14th, 2060, but I could die in 30 days. And you might too. We don't know how long we have, but even if we have until April 14th, 2060, that amount of time is so short compared to the eternity we'll spend in heaven. It's time to live with an eternal perspective. It is time to embrace Christ with a singular passion because we are on our way to meet him very, very soon.
Wow. You know, it's kind of like, it almost seems, well, that's a bummer, dude. But it's really an important thing to think about.
Absolutely. We can say it's a bummer or we can feel depressed or we can say, you know what? Now I have the right perspective.
Right.
And I can do something about this. It's kind of like realizing that the basketball game you're playing in has only got 30 seconds left.
Right. And you're down by 10.
Well, maybe you're up by 10.
Right.
Maybe you're up by 10. Maybe you're down. It doesn't matter. Either way, wow, you've only got 30 seconds. You got to push. Mm-hmm. You got to make it everything you can. And, you know, I don't know if you're out there listening, if you feel like you love Jesus and you're following him and in the game, you are up by 10. Or if you haven't been following him and you're down by 20. We don't know when our life ends, but we know when eternity begins.
Amen.
And eternity is forever, and we cannot waste these last 10 seconds or 30 days or 20 years. We can't waste it. It's so short in the perspective of eternity. D.L. Moody was a famous preacher. He had an alcoholic father who died when he was 4 years old. He had lots of brothers and sisters, so he was sent off away from his family to work for room and board. He was fed only cornmeal and milk 3 times a day.
Wow.
And this is what his pastor said about him. I can truly say, and in saying it, I magnify the infinite grace of God as bestowed upon him, that I have seen few persons whose minds were spiritually darker than was his when he came into my Sunday school class.
Wow. And that's about D.L. Moody?
That's about D.L. Moody, one of the most famous preachers who's ever lived.
Wow.
God changed D.L. Moody. He started attending prayer meetings. Then he began to minister in saloons and at ports. Then he started teaching a Sunday school class. It grew to over 600 people. Then he took a Sunday school class and he founded a church. Then in the Chicago fires, they burnt down his home and his church and the homes of all his church members. But D.L. Moody was a man pursuing God, and he knew that someday he was going to come face to face with God. So nothing stopped, not even the Chicago fires.
Right.
They rebuilt the homes. They rebuilt the church. Then he founded schools, a seminary, a publishing group, all to glorify God. Wow. He became one of the most famous evangelists to ever live. And listen to this. In a sermon called Christ is All in All, or Christ All in All, D.L. Moody says, in the place God has put us, he expects us to shine, to be living witnesses, to be a bright and shining light. While we are here, our work is to shine for him.
Right.
Why was D.L. Moody here? To shine for Jesus. And right. By the way, we've done a couple true shots on D.L. Moody.
He totally acted like he had 30 days to live, like for 60 years.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Well, he said he was going to totally sell out on one of their truth shots. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm going to be totally sold out for God. Now, does that sound like a man who's partially committed? No. He was prepared to meet Jesus someday.
Right. And, tomorrow even.
And listen to his last words. When he was dying, these were his very last words. Earth is receding. Heaven is approaching. This is my crowning day.
That's awesome.
Man, when I'm dying, I want my last words to be something right. like, this is my crowning day. Not fear, not misery, not scared, but saying, man, I am ready. Right. This is the greatest day of my life. Yeah,
that's really awesome perspective, honestly.
It is an awesome perspective. It can't be better than that. I don't think.
No, I agree with you because, I mean, what do we have if we do not have hope for eternity?
No kidding. No kidding. So, hey, we got a couple questions here. We're going to jump back and forth. We've been talking about taking our lives seriously. We want everyone to take their life seriously.
Totally.
But we do have a good question here from a guy that was sent in. This is just on a totally different subject. We've been doing this every week.
Mm-hmm. 10 questions ask your pastor.
So we're asking.
Yeah. And we've already covered, we've been going backwards.
Yeah.
And we've already covered 10 through 4. And now we're up to his third point. And this is
his third question.
Yeah, his third question. Why does the Bible routinely depict God as manifesting himself in dramatic, unmistakable ways and performing obvious miracles even before the eyes of non-believers when no such thing happens in the world today?
That's a really good question.
It is a good question.
And a lot of people pose that.
Mm-hmm.
They say, hey, I haven't seen any miracles. You know, if I read the Bible, I should be seeing I see miracles all over the place.
Right.
Why don't I see a bunch of miracles? And I have a good friend named Jacob Ali. He's a great apologist. And you should jump over to his website. I think we'll try to link to it on this post at truthrevolution.tv. So we'll link to his article here, but I'm going to quote from it. It's jacobali.com. He says, actually, if you take the number of miracles talked about in the Bible, it was around 350, give or take, and divide them across the time of span of writing the Bible, about 1,500 years, mm-hmm. you end up with 0.2333 miracles a year, or one miracle about every 4 years.
Oh, yeah. Miracles just popping off every day.
So even in the Bible, when you add up all the miracles in the Bible,
right.
you just get one every four years. Yeah. He says, so miracles were not happening every day, apparently. He says, but there's even more that ought to be said here. The miracles in the Bible, as it turns out, are hardly evenly spaced throughout the Bible's timeline. In fact, the majority of the miracles occur surrounding figures like Moses, Elijah, Jesus, Peter, and Paul.
Right.
He listed five guys right there. He says, in other words, large bulks of these miracles happen around a specific people at a specific period of time. So, I mean, just think about this. You've got most of the miracles in the Bible happening from these five people.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible covers over 1,500 years.
Right. I'm willing to say, though, that, you know, if you do that math, and I know you're taking an average of one every 4 years, but you know what? I mean, we've seen miracles here at our church, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, miracles mm-hmm. pop off all the time. You know, they may not be huge water to wine miracles, but you know, mm-hmm. I mean, God helps people, you know, get healed or you know, meet some kind of financial burden.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and we're not what you would call a charismatic church right. where we're just not like, everybody stand up or come hit you in the head and...
Right.
You know, I have a lot of great friends at churches like that, but that's just not what our church is. But we still believe we've seen some miracles. God has healed people. God has answered some amazing prayers exactly how we asked.
Yeah.
So we've seen stuff like that. But even if we hadn't, the Bible lists these five people as the ones who've done miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not asking, when you read the Bible cursory like this guy did, he's thinking he's seen a miracle, you know, every week, every year. That's not the case.
Well, when you sit down and read the Bible, of course, you're reading about one, like, what? You're reading about at least one or two every week.
Yeah, exactly. You know? You're reading the Bible. So he says, but on Jacob Ali's website, he says, so in reality, most people throughout biblical history never saw miracles either. There were long periods of time where God performed no miracles among his people. That such events more often than not surrounded certain figures at certain times and in certain places guarantees that the majority of people throughout history are much like you and I. And have not seen one of these acts of God firsthand. So,
just an
interesting little take there. All right. Now, as we close, I'd like to offer you the chance to consider your life and how short it is.
Mm-hmm.
James 4, you do not even know what will happen. What is your life? You're a mist that appears a little while and then vanishes. But 1 Corinthians 15 says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? If you know Jesus and you're following him, then eternity is something to look forward to.
Amen.
Pursue him with passion. Go all out. Don't waste the next 30 minutes, 30 days, or 30 years.
Awesome.
All right. Come on out to Revolution Church, 10:15 this morning.
1111 West South Street.
And I want to thank you to all the donors who've helped make this show a reality. You can donate over at truthrevolution.tv.
Right. Check out past shows, even Truth Shots.
And that's right. 60 seconds.
Better than a burrito.
So grab yourself a burrito, listen to Truth Shot, and come over to Revolution Church this morning. Thanks for listening. Thanks for donating. truthrevolution.tv. We'll see you next week.
Revolution.